of Luke. I'm sure that it's common to you Bible readers. I'm sure you've heard this preached probably many times. Jesus, in speaking this parable, he chose to use a Pharisee and a publican. And the Pharisees, they were a religious group. They were religious Jews. And they were pretty much known for being a self-righteous people. They believed that justification before God would come by their own good works, the keeping of the law. And the publicans, they were a people, they were tax collectors, they were pretty much looked down upon by most people. I believe that they could be known for being dishonest people. And so those are the two people that Jesus selected to use in this parable, a Pharisee and a publican. And it begins in Luke 18, verse 9. It says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Trusted in themselves that they were righteous. "Two men went up into the temple to pray." So they both went there for the same reason. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" And I want to say, before I continue reading, I want to stop for a moment and say this. You know, going to church, reading your Bible, going through religious motions, going through religious rituals has never got anybody to heaven. That's a wonderful thing to do for people that have been saved, that, you know, that we might grow in the Lord. But those things, being religious, has never got anybody to heaven. If you're not saved, you're not saved. If you're not saved, you're not ready for heaven. If you've not been born again, if you've not been born of the Spirit, you're not ready for heaven. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And so, we think about the great difference of attitude that these two men had. We think about how each of them looked at themselves. One of them, the example here of the Pharisee, is an example of someone that was just filled with pride. And the scriptures teach us that pride will keep us from God. In fact, the scriptures teach us that God resists the proud. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, Solomon said this about pride. He said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit," which means a proud spirit, "before a fall." That's what pride does. But the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5 and 6, chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Now, we see here that in the conclusion of this, in verse 14 that I read, that one of these men was an example of someone exalting themselves. And the other was an example of someone who humbled himself before God. And so the Pharisee, obviously, did not consider himself to be a sinner. He, spoke to God in prayer and just thanked God that he was such a righteous person. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, "I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And certainly that is true about all of us, because the Bible tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Romans chapter 5 in verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed up on all men, for that all have sinned." And so we are sinners. Listen, even those in the world today that don't think of themselves as a sinner, they are. We're all guilty of sin. And this Jesus here gives us an example by the use of the Pharisee. And it's obviously an example of someone that, as I said, did not look at himself in that light. "Oh God, I'm thankful that I'm so good." Let me tell you something, that attitude will never get a person saved. "I thank you that I'm not as other men are. You know, I'm not an extortioner or unjust or an adulterer, or I'm sure glad I'm not like this publican here." But the attitude of the publican was just completely the opposite, wasn't it? He would not even, he was so humiliated in himself that he would not even so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but just simply smote up on his breast, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." In the 116th Psalm, David there says, "I love the Lord." Why do you love him, David? "Because he heard my voice and my supplications. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death can pass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." Think about that. I want you to think about what we are told there. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and I found sorrow. Then, in that condition, then called I upon the name of the Lord. It was in that condition, in great trouble within. He says, it was in that condition that I began to call upon the name of the Lord. And his prayer was, oh Lord, I beg you to deliver my soul. And he said, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. He says, I was brought low, and he helped me. I'm going to tell you something, and I believe that this is true. I believe this to be the testimony of everybody that has ever truly been saved. Now, you know, unfortunately, there are many people in the world today, and there have been for years, that are walking around with false hope. Some of it is through self-deception. Some of it is by listening to somebody else and allowing themselves to be deceived by something they were told that's not true. But I believe that everybody that has ever truly been saved experienced this. And listen, there were some things that I experienced from the Lord. There were some things that the Holy Spirit of God wrought in my heart before that he gave me peace. I still believe in Holy Spirit conviction of sin. It's necessary. Listen, if you're here today and you have been brought low, and that's exactly what the psalmist said, I was brought low. God's going to bring you down before he brings you up. He's going to convict you of your sin. Jesus, in the 16th chapter of John, when he was talking to his disciples about the fact that he was going to be leaving and that the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, was going to come, he said that his work was going to be to reprove the world. To reprove means to convict, that he would reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And, you know, listen, I believe today that the Holy Spirit still bears witness to the truth, and the Holy Spirit still does his work today in the hearts of people. And you know, sometimes I'm afraid that people lie to their own heart and they say, well, you know, it's not bothering me at all, when oftentimes I believe that it is, because the Holy Spirit does that. He does that. He honors the truth and he bears witness to the truth of the gospel, and he reproves people of their sins. And that's necessary. You know, I'm just going to tell you the truth. God made me feel miserable. He made me feel miserable. I can appreciate and I can relate to, and I can fully understand what David was referring to there when he spoke about the sorrows of death compassing him and the pains of hell getting hold upon him. I can relate to that because I felt it. I experienced it. I know what he's talking about. I was made to realize that I was a sinner, that I was not a righteous person, that I was not a good person, that there was nothing good about me, that I was a sinner. Let me tell you something today. If you're here and you're lost and without the Lord, the Bible doesn't talk about you being good. The Bible speaks about you being evil. Evil. People don't want to hear that today, do they? They don't want to be told that they're sinners. They don't want to be told that they're evil. They want to think that they're good. But the Bible tells me, I believe in the 14th Psalm, that the Lord himself looked down from heaven upon the children of men. And you know what he saw? He saw that there was none good. No, not one. Not one. The night that I got saved, and I've related this to you on many occasions, I don't ever get tired of telling it. But the night that I got saved, I did not come to the Lord and say, God, I'm so thankful that I'm so good. I'm so thankful. You know, God, I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I'm not like this person over here. Look at me. I'm so good. I didn't do that. I come before the Lord, like I said, just as broken as I had ever been in my life. I realized what I was in the sight of a holy, just God. And I realized that I didn't deserve anything from Him. And I'll tell you what, I got down before the Lord and I began to beg Him. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I became a beggar. That's what is related to us in the 116th Psalm. The psalmist said, I beseech thee, O Lord, deliver my soul. God, I'm begging you for this. I'm begging you for your mercy. I'm begging you to deliver my soul. And he said, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. I was brought low and He helped me. And that's exactly what happened to me in that condition. God helped me. And if it wouldn't have been for that, I'd still be lost and in my sins today. Because I'm telling you, sinner, God is your only hope. He's your only hope. You know, the Scriptures teach us, I believe very plainly, I don't believe it's difficult to see. You read the New Testament Scriptures, and I believe it's taught to us very plainly that salvation comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're ever going to be saved, that's the way you're going to come. If you don't come through Jesus, you're not going to get there. If you don't come to Jesus for salvation, then you're never going to know salvation, because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the only way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, listen, there's more and more people in our nation today and in the world today that are trying to promote various ways of salvation. But I'm going to tell you something. God made one way. One way. And it's the only way that anybody will ever really make it. It's sad, folks. To me, it's sad that there are so many people in the world today that have placed their hope, the hope of their eternal soul, upon something that they're going to find out was not real. That's sad. The Bible tells us that that'll happen. Jesus Himself said that that'll happen. Jesus Himself said in the 7th chapter of Matthew that there would be people in the day of judgment that would stand before Him and try to justify themselves by the things that they had done. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name? In Your name have we not cast out devils? In Your name have we not done many wonderful works? But He said, I'll say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You know, it's a two-way relationship. It's not just that we know Him. He knows us. Isn't that what He told the Apostle Peter there in the 18th chapter, the 16th chapter of Matthew? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, there's some that are saying that you're Elijah, some you're saying you're John the Baptist, some saying you're one of the prophets. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And the Apostle Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, the Apostle Peter knew Jesus through the Spirit, through the power of God, he knew him. And Jesus knew exactly who Peter was, didn't he? They knew each other. Jesus said, this relationship is what I'll build my church upon. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, if I disillusion you today, so be it, but you need to know the truth that you're not good. Amen. You're not good. Through Adam, sin came up on all of us. We're born in sin. We are like David said, I believe in the 58th Psalm, he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We come forth estranged from the womb, speaking lies. We're born with a sinful nature, we don't get to be, generally speaking, we don't get to be a very old age before we're made to realize that we're separated from God, that we're sinners in His sight. And listen, from that point on, the Lord is our only hope. And the Bible has much to say to us about how that we must approach God for salvation. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. I'm going to tell you something else that I didn't do. I didn't walk up, Brother Ronnie, I didn't walk up before a congregation of people, and I didn't repeat a word-for-word prayer that somebody told me to say, and I didn't decide, being a lost and ruined sinner, I didn't decide to just merely make a decision to take Jesus. I didn't do that. No. I got down before Him. I'm not saying you've got to be saved on your knees because you don't. But I was. I got down before Him and I begged Him for His mercy. I begged Him for forgiveness. I begged Him for relief because I was hurting. I had a pain that I'd never had. It wasn't a physical pain. It was worse than that. You know what I'm talking about? It was a pain down in my soul that I couldn't deal with. I couldn't shake. And so I just laid it out before the Lord and begged Him to be merciful to a sinner like me. Thank God He's merciful. I see people from time to time. I wish it wasn't just from time to time. I wish it was more often than it is. But I see people from time to time come up here and they bow and they begin to pray. And you can just tell that pain is in them. They're seeking relief for what they're feeling down in their soul. That's what that psalm is talking about. I'm convinced that that's what the 116th Psalm is talking about. That pain that sets up in us that can only come from conviction of sin and the condemnation of knowing that we have offended a holy God and that we stand condemned before Him. Well, there's only one of two things that you can do with that. You can either bring that to Jesus, or you can just push it away. That's all you can do with it. But Brother Mike, this morning, I know everybody wasn't here to hear it, but Brother Mike in the Sunday school lesson this morning was talking about God's judgment. And I'm going to tell you what, it's coming. It's coming. You can reject the Lord, or you can seek the Lord. I'll tell you what you can't do. You cannot do what Pilate said he could do and just wash your hands of it and say it doesn't have anything to do with me, because we have all got to decide what we are going to do with Jesus. Because we're going to have to answer. We're going to have to stand before Him, and we're going to have to give an account. This is serious, folks. This is serious. This is the most serious thing in life. Listen, you're going to have people, young people, you young people that are still lost. There are people out in the world today. They're going to try to flood your mind with so many ideas. But let me tell you something. This is the most serious issue that will ever be before you. Where are you going to spend eternity? You've already heard testimony this morning. You've already heard earnest, humble testimony given here this morning that we just don't know. We don't know when death is going to come upon us. We don't. Many people, day after day, experience that very unexpectedly. Listen, if you've come to the point in your life, God has made you to know that you're lost and separated from Him, you need to be seeking the Lord until you find Him. If you're here in that condition today, you need to be seeking the Lord today. You don't need to listen to the devil when he tries to tell you that there'll be a better day. You need to seek the Lord today for the salvation of your soul, young or old. If you're lost, you're lost. And you need to take it seriously. Brother Strode, let's sing.